This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Awesome. What a privilege it is to come together once again. It's always a privilege. I will pray for us and then we'll sing our first song. Father, we just thank you for this day you've given us. And we thank you for your mercies that are made new every morning. And Father, we really desire to see you lifted up today, Father. We yearn to see you today, Father. We long to have your spirit amongst us, in us, between us. And thank you that you are singing over us. And today we come as a congregation and we sing to you, to lift you up, to lift the name of Jesus. And stir in us a fire and a hope. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Come you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Amen. You may have a seat just for a moment.
A scripture. Microphone issues. Here we go. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in his storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his hearts to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all the children of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of earth. Almost done. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. By its great might, it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help, and he is our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And I just felt God say for today, especially one word, and that's reflect. That we reflect on the things that he's done in our lives and the goodness and the greatness and who he is, and that he is actually our only hope, and his steadfast love is the only thing that sustains us. And I also just felt God say, people, maybe one person, maybe two people here today are going to be like, so there's nothing great in my life, it's a big mess right now. But I just want to encourage all of us that we reflect not only on maybe how great our lives are, but actually what God has done. And if you don't know what God has done, I want to encourage you to go read scripture after this service and go see what he has done, because he has done all those things. So as we worship, let's just really think, okay, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we've come here to meet. And we really trust today that he will manifest himself to all of us and show that he is our only hope. And that there is always a great thing to reflect on that he has done. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this place, Lord. Not for an empty reason or because it's what we do or anything like that, Father. But we really come today sincerely seeking your face, Lord. Sincerely seeking, Father God, for the answers, for the truth, for the realness. God, come and make yourself real to us today, Father. Even those of us who are not in a good place, even those of us who are in an amazing place, we know that you love us all, Father God, and that your hope and your love sustains us, Father. And we just pray that you make that real to us, Father, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. Oh, He is great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free us. Yes and amen, you will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free the captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom. Done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. And hallelujah, God, unshakable. And hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. Yes, your freedom awakened alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things.
God above it all.
Hallelujah, God above it all. And hallelujah, God unshakable. And hallelujah, God, you've done great things.
Let's just do one more time.
And hallelujah.
Thank you.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, highest praise.
For nail pierced hands.
is the land. Sing worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Seated on the throne.
Overcame death. Thank you that so many benefits fall on us because of that. Thank you what the plan was and what you've done and what Jesus has done. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who came. It is such an amazing story. It is beautiful, wonderful, awesome. And we thank you today, Father. We thank you for who you are. And who Jesus is, and who your Holy Spirit is. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way in what I'm speaking. This is your church. Last time you showed me that you walked in between us and checked our hearts. And yes, Lord, you are actually so welcome. We love you, Lord. Have your way in each one of us, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for worship. It's beautiful that we may enter into his presence, that we may worship him, that it's possible that we can worship him. It's just beautiful. Okay, today it's going about the heart condition. And I only realized today, now while I'm standing here, that yes, last time Jesus pitched up, he showed me, and that I think it was 2 weeks back, and then he said, yes, he's checking the hearts of people, and I was just falling on my knees and say, Lord, please have grace on us, and because perhaps we are not ready for you to check us. But today is about our heart connection with God. And already now in the beginning of the sermon, I share with you what is the end. What are we working towards today? So the end goal is a heart-to-heart connection with God. And what does that mean and how do we do this? But this is his heart for us. So we have a physical heart and it is strong. It is a very strong muscle. It brings our blood circulation everywhere, choof, 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 every time, and it's automatic. Yeah, it's like a locomotive. I don't know if all of you have heard the sound of a heartbeat, especially of an unborn baby. It is beautiful. It goes shoof, 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 shoof. It's beautiful. And no one has to remind you that your heart needs to beat. It's beautiful. It's automatic. The same is with our physical, our spiritual heart. Sorry, with our spiritual heart, it's also strong. It is when we are rooted and grounded in God, you are strong, because it's God's strength that flows through you. And also the circulation goes everywhere, and it's also automatic. The circulation is in you, but also around you. So people will perceive it. People will see it. Often when we walk in the streets, then someone will say, "But I can see it in you." And sometimes I ask them, "What can you see then?" They don't know, but they can just see it. So this is part of the spiritual heart. It's an outflow. It's who you are. And often we can see if someone is happy or not happy. You see it in their eyes or in their faces. And this is also an automatic thing. It's just an outflow of what happens inside of us. In Luke 6, verse 45, it says, "The good person out of good treasure, out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." There's many verses on this, before and after, about fruit, that an apple tree cannot bear fruit like grapes because it's not a grape. And what is in our hearts, that is what we will produce. And this is what I feel God is saying to us today. My Bible is not working here. That we, what is going on in our hearts, will determine how strong we are, where we are going at, how at intercession, God showed me a humongous tree, and it is a cedar tree. And often the Bible speaks of that, and I didn't know how it looks like, but in London, where our children live, there are a few cedar trees. And they have a very tall, straight, do you call it a trunk? It's beautiful. It's actually really tall. And we're supposed to be strong, big trees. And I think after today, we will be a little stronger. I know God is going to do something in your heart. I know He told me He is here, and He wants to work with everyone specific. So He will meet you at the place where you are at. And that is so beautiful. It's only a God that can do that. No? It's beautiful. Okay, some physics. The next slide is the heart. Some of you know it out of your heart, out of your brain. I don't know how you say it. Out of your heart. Okay. It is, it's a very simple sketch, but actually the blue is where the blood comes into the heart, into the right atrium. Then it goes through a valve. Then it goes into the right ventricle. Then it's pushed up by the muscles. It goes up out to the outside. It goes up, and then it splits, going to the lungs, the pulmonary artery, they call it. So it's divided in two, and then it goes shuff, shuff into your lungs. Then as it comes back from your lungs, it doesn't go anywhere else, it comes back to the heart. Then it flows back you see these little red ones, it comes back into the left atrium. And then it goes down to the left ventricle through this valve. And this muscle is the strongest part of the heart. It also makes your blood pressure. It looks small, the ventricle, but you can see the muscle is thicker around it. So that is a strong one. And what does it do with the blood when it comes back from the lungs? It pushes it out here, and then it goes through the aorta to all our veins, everywhere in our whole body. It's actually a beautiful organ. The next slide is what happens in the lungs. We saw it go to the lungs. This looks like bubble chocolate. What do you call it? Yeah, bros. I think in the Netherlands you call it bros. Especially when they colored it brown, eh? But this is not chocolate. This is your, bronchioles and alveoli. All right, so what happens? The blood that goes to the lungs, it went through the heart just to get a little push. Okay, now you go to the lungs. It goes to the lungs. It comes in on what side? Where is the... It comes in here, the blue, yes, sorry. The blue, it comes in here. Then it goes to these little bubbles. And then something magic happens in those bubbles. The CO2 that the blood that comes from the body has lots of CO2 in, which is not good for our bodies. So then the CO2 diffuses, is the word. I thought it's assimilation, but it diffuses into other cells, and then they go back to the heart, and then the heart gives it another push. Okay, now you're ready to go all over the place. Okay, the last little sketch is a close-up look what happens in those little bubbles. So the breath comes down, and here the blood goes, and this is the CO2. It just goes into there. It just diffuses into there. Okay, and this diffuses out. Who rules it? God. Who knows what is CO2 and who is O2? God. Does the cells know? Perhaps. Well, they operate very well. They travel very nicely. And they call this red blood cells. I think those are also red, but perhaps they look a little pale. I don't know. But the red blood cells carry the oxygen. And I used to learn, I don't know if it's true, that men have more, or boys or men have more red blood cells. So that's why they have more energy than the woman. Because the oxygen travels through those blood cells. And so then it goes back to you remember the first sketch, the back to the heart, gets a kick off there and goes to the everywhere in our body. Okay, the last picture, I see I put it in there. This is where it travels then. So all the oxygen, poor of oxygen, blood, the blue veins, takes it back to the heart into the lungs. Then the lungs bring it back to the heart, and then you get all the good stuff everywhere. And this goes on automatic. You don't need to worry about it. It's good. God cleanses your body automatic. You don't need to know, did this cell do its job? Does my breath out has CO2 in it? There's too much oxygen in it, O2 in it. No, you don't even think about it. It's just an automatic thing. It's how God works. It's a beautiful thing. So what will be CO2 in our lives? What is the things that we need to get out of our system spiritually? And I just list a few. There's many. But I want you to think of yourself. And I ask God, Lord, I ask you that you will show with your Holy Spirit where you're at with everyone, that you will highlight that you want to change in us, Father, today. So some of the tips that we can look at is pride. Pride is really if you think you're better than another. And this morning, as me and Darkan spoke, we spoke about, I can't remember, it was about discrimination. And actually discrimination is all over. It's about gender, it's about cultures, it's it's everywhere. And we think we are not discriminative, but we are. And that is, it can quickly go into pride. That, at least I am not like that, or whatever. If I'm a man, at least I can earn more than a woman, or whatever. It's, Okay, so pride sneaks in very quickly. We can be devoted to idols. And always, December is a time that I see it more often than others. Also because Christmas is supposed to be a Christian holiday. And I always have this contradiction in my heart. It's not the date when Jesus was born. It's a festival combined by Christian stuff and ungodly things, other idols. So Jesus never said we must have a green tree. Jesus is also not Santa Claus or Sinterklaas. So it's a season that is so contradictory to me. And also when I see every person, not every person, 90% of the people, have a Christmas tree in their house, even though they are not Christians, then actually I think, yes, that actually belongs there then. Because Christmas trees is not really part of Jesus and God and who he is. So why do we put those ornaments in our house? And if you read the Old Testament, God was not happy with the things they put in their temples and in their houses. He was not. He didn't say, "Oh, well done. Yeah, it's good that you add some other stuff of yourself." The only thing that we read, and sorry, I'm going a little off on this, in the Bible of green trees is where they went on high places, hills or mountains. And under the green trees, they prayed for their idols. And they brought their stuff there. Is that perhaps where our green tree come from? Go Google it. There's different opinions about it. But I just wonder how on earth did we get where we are. Okay. Devoted to idols. Rebellious. When we do deliverance, I always see that scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. And verse 5 says, the strongholds in our life is often our own thinking, reasonings, lofty thinking, arguments. That is where the trouble lies. And this comes in with rebellion. You think you know better. When we, I will perhaps often repeat this, but when we are on the streets and we ask people, then they say, but I'm a good person. And I'm doing well. And I give to the poor and to any goeie doele. And you see, it's actually a rebellion spirit. You do not want to submit to God. You want to submit to your own reasonings, your own arguments, your own way of thinking. So it make you think. Do you submit to God? Hardened heart, sometimes life is really tough and difficult, and you can harden your heart, and you can also harden your heart for God, unfortunately. Or you're disappointed with God, you expected something else, and now it didn't come true, and you really thought this is what he said, and now it's all the other side. It is difficult. When people hurt you, yes, you put up walls. But careful for your hardened heart. It can prevent you of growing and coming close to God. A darkened heart, unrepentant heart, unforgiving, unbelieving. Okay, then we can have a strong heart, but in the wrong direction. With wrong things, you can have so much anger or revenge, or you walk over people. I've seen it. People who is so business orientated, and I must get this deal, and it doesn't matter about the rest. And you're just not kind. You're just not loving. It's all about your deal and your what you want to do and what you think the company wants. It's actually the opposite what God wants us. We are there for people, not walking over people. And a weak heart, you're fearful, you're despondent, you're tired, you're broken. God often, not God, I think the enemy often works with us with a broken heart. And we are so scared that people will hurt us and that our poor hearts will be broken. I was one of them. And I struggled a lot with it. It's not easy to get rid of it because it's kind of your downfall. And you interpret things that comes to you also in that way. So your I can say your vision is also blurred, or your hearing. So careful to pamp yourself in your broken heart. God shared with me very clearly and that He will never break our hearts. Yes, people do. Forgive them, bless them, set them free. It's not to say you're in agreement with what they did. It's not to say that they didn't do wrong things. But your brokenness, you cannot, like a pig rolling in the mud, you cannot say, oh, poor me, my heart is broken. Yes, all those people, you know, everyone broke my heart. And if you speak to me and I say, yeah, but you need to forgive, but you don't know what happened to me. Yes, God knows. And God is bigger than anything. Yes, your heart can be totally broken. He is there for you. Okay. He will never break your heart. People do. It's beautiful in Psalm 39 where David says, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. It is also in that Luke 6, verse 45, which we had previously. Let me just read it quickly again. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart is his mouth speaks. And then the heart is your thoughts and feelings. If you go and Google it on Esort, what was the original meaning? And then a treasure is where your deposit is, your wealth. And evil is your morally culpable, your bad stuff in your life. So careful what is in your heart. Okay. It's a short sermon, so you're nearly there. So what happens to the lungs? We are back to the physical ones. Because I said to God, okay, now, so what about the physical and the spiritual? How do we combine it? How do we get a connection, a heart-to-heart connection? And it's beautiful that the lungs works with the blood, but also with breath. Breath. God's life-giving breath. And how does our blood get rid of the CO2 and get the O2? With breath, with God's breath. And then it's His breath of life. Isn't that beautiful? So when we want to be connected with God, we need to get into our lungs actually and get the breath of life in us, spiritually speaking, physically it happens, yeah. So just stand still for a half minute and think of things in your heart where the Holy Spirit guides you now, just one thing that is like a CO2, like an, what is that in English, CO2? Coal stuff monoxide. Carbon, yeah, that word that everyone is speaking. That we have too much of. We even produce more. Okay, so of that thing, carbon dioxide. Think of one thing that you can classify in your life as carbon dioxide that is not wanted, that is not from God, that is not where God wants you to be. And then we guide this blood, this thing, to the lungs, and we bring it to the lungs. And what happens in the lungs? The connection with God, where He changes the carbon dioxide. It dissolves into God, actually, into His breath, and you get the breath of life. How does that happen? When we search our hearts, when we bring it to God and we repent and say, Lord, I missed it, this wrong thinking, this wrong emotion of fear of a broken heart, we give that to God. That happens in the lungs. God forgives us and He brings healing and correction. And because of that, we are refreshed and strengthened. And we can go on for the next cycle or the next thing to be cleansed. But it's so beautiful to know that God talks about our heart and that this breath of Him is actually part of us being cleansed, being connected with Him, getting on the right road, up and out. You can go again. In Genesis 2, verse 7, we read already, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of spirit of life, and man became a living being. It is powerful. God's breath overruns all the evil. We must just bring it to the lungs. If you don't bring it to the lungs and you keep it in your body, your toe is going to rot because you don't want to cleanse your toe where you walk or where you think or what you do with your hands. We need to bring it to God. We need to bring it to the lungs. And then be humble. Be humble. I think I can quickly share. Yes. About, I read in Job. Ach man, my pronunciation. Thank you that you can understand. In Job. There it is, Job. Okay. In Job, yeah, God said to Satan, have you seen this righteous man? He's very cool. Man, and he even brags a little about Job. And then you think, yes, God, Job is without sin because he was righteous. But you know, why is he righteous? Because he loves God. And then God makes us righteous. Because you believe in Jesus. Jesus didn't come yet, but he believed in God. So that makes you righteous. It's not something that you say, okay, I'm this perfect person now. And if you read through Job, he did a lot of good things. He took care of the widows. He took care of the orphans. When strangers came into the city, he took care of them. He gave money. He supported his whole family. He was a good guy. And when I speak to people on the streets, yes, they are good. They really try. They are good guys. But still, there was something missing. He thought he's so good that he could argue with God. And yes, sometimes I'm also not in agreement with God. I say, but Lord, I do not understand. But still, God is higher than us. And he argued that God was unrighteous to make him poor and to make all these curses happen on him. And the day when you think you earn a better life because you are so cool, you are wrong. We earn nothing. We are not cool, even if we try. Yes, we are beautifully and wonderfully made, and everyone is awesome because of God. It's just by the grace of God. So that arrogance to think that, well, I'm doing so well and so good, how dare God bring these curses over me? And then the last friend, who was the youngest, told him, but you cannot do it like this. God is higher. And then it goes about the crocodile and the hippopotamus. It was so strange to me that God chose those two animals to brag actually a little with Job, to say, do you know how strong that animal is? For instance, the crocodile. Can you tame him? Can you make him, can you tame him that he can be your pet? Never. Is there any place near the crocodile that you are safe? No, you are not. Who made him? Who created him? I did. God is so much higher than us. And and then Job repented. He said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I missed it. I'm sorry. And you know what happened? God said, yes, but your other friends, they didn't repent. So please intercede for them. And as he interceded for them, God said, okay, I'll restore you. And then God restored him more than what he had. He needed to go to the lungs. We all of us have CO2, carbon dioxide in our lives. And that we must get rid of it as much as possible. So I don't know where you are now. Oh, okay. But oxygen in our blood is through prayer for yourself and for others. God can replace the carbon dioxide with the oxygen when you intercede for others and not only for yourself. Now, reading and meditating on His Word, that brings truth in your heart. You can listen to thousands of sermons. You can sing 2,000 songs. If you do not read the Word and God speaks through you in the Word and bring you revelation, you will struggle to grow. You will struggle because you want to live now on other, you walk actually on some bubbles. You live on other people's revelation and on other people's encounters with God and on other people's healing. It's beautiful what God does with everyone, but you need to have that own relationship with Him. Revelations from God, it's the best. When I sit with God and He shares with me, or I need to do a sermon and I ask, but Lord, what is on your heart? It's beautiful how He reveals it. It's amazing. And you don't want to miss that, because that builds your relationship with God. If we say we are supposed to have a relationship, it means it's not knowing, just knowing God. It is communicating with God. It's interaction with God. It's getting His revelations, getting a heart for what His heart is for. Good, is it too tough? Must I say something pleasant? Doing life with other Christians can be pleasant. And fasting, fasting is powerful. It's tough. Oh man, I'm not good in that. I don't know if anyone is good in that, but perhaps you can get professionals in that. But, oh man, when I joined Shofar, I learned that we had to fast. Oh, it was tough, and it's still tough. But every time, my connection with God is better afterwards. Every time. It's as if He rewards you. It's beautiful. You fast for something, for deliverance, or you fast for some stuff in your job or whatever. But then God says, I want connection with you. I want a relationship with you. And He blesses you with that. It's beautiful. Also with other stuff often. But the relationship is so important and it's so, so beautiful. And it's actually only in tough times when I learned to trust God and connect with Him. And I don't want tough times. I'm not so good in it. But it's the times when I grew. It's the times when I really connected with God. It's the times that was powerful. And it sustains you long because you trust God. Because your power was so small. You could not wing it. You could not do it. Was it not for God? If He was not there. And that's actually a good place. Okay. The last slide is stay connected. I like the two pictures we had there. It's coming. Are you all over the place? Does your CO2 knows where to go? Is it all tied up in bundles? Or are you connected? Are you connected with God? And so this is it. It's about our connection with God. And the summary is, what prevents this? What is the CO2 in your life? What prevents the connection with God? Why can't He speak with you? Why can't you have revelations of Him? Why can't you have a connection with Him? What is it that lies between you and God? Go to the lungs, go and repent. Say, Lord, I don't know what it is. Open my eyes. Lord, I know this is one of the things. I repent of it. I don't want it anymore. Get replaced with the breath of life, with God's breath, and get connected to His heart. It's important that we live according to His heart, because the more we live according to His heart, the less we struggle, the less CO2 we have. Because when we live exactly how God wants us, I don't know if that is possible, but the less we need to get rid of stuff. So your heart must connect with God's heart. And that is a place where you need to be humble. I I need to be humble. I need to say to God, Lord, I'm so sorry. I missed it. I don't even see everywhere where I missed it. Help me. I repent of where I missed it. And then we get life-giving blood that flows through the whole body. So we can stand. Take a breath of life into your life. And while your eyes are closed, I just want to ask, is there anyone in this congregation today, in this place today, that haven't chosen Jesus as your Savior, that hasn't made that decision and to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Through him, that's the only way you can get this breath. Through him, it's the only way that you will get revelations from his Father. That is the way. Is there anyone that feels that, or that knows that you never wholeheartedly said yes to Jesus? That Jesus came to die for all your sins so that the connection can start, so that the relationship can start. Is there anyone here that is still thinking of it or wants to make a decision today? Then the second thing that I want to ask, while your eyes are still closed, what is there still in your heart that prevents you of a heart-to-heart connection? Lord, I ask you that you will come with your Holy Spirit, guide us, lighten us up, bring it in the light. Lord, we need to see it. Open it up. I come against everything that wants to hide it, that wants to keep it covered, that wants to prevent us having this connection with you, Lord. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you with your Holy Spirit will show it now to us, even if it's one thing that jumps up in our thoughts. Lord, because we all want a better connection with you. Daily we want to have better, better, better. We want our hearts to be strong and our lungs to purify us with your living breath, Lord. As you saw it, or as God reminded you, you can repent on yourself or where you are at. But sometimes we need to repent to one another. And that is also a part of what God says, confess your sins to one another so that you can be healed. Sometimes that's the only way that to bring it to the light. And when you've confessed, God forgives you and washes you clean. And it's not you anymore. It's not part of you anymore. But if you try to hide it and you're ashamed of it, it will block you. So there's no shame on it. There's nothing. But if you feel that this thing is stuck and it's stuck more than one day, come to the front where the facilitators, the small group leaders, will pray with you in agreement that this is not from God, you do not want this, and go in the name of Jesus Christ. Not you, the thing that blocks it. Okay, so then you're more than welcome to come to the front. And any other prayer where you want a better connection, and you say, yes, I want a better connection in this area or in that area, or totally with God, come to the front. Let someone pray in agreement with you. Let him hear words from God that can bring life to you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this chance. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that you say you want us to be plugged in. You want us to be connected. Help us, Lord. Guide us in this few minutes now, or weeks, or for the rest of our lives, Lord, so that we can connect with you, that we can bring the COT to before you, that it can be transformed into life, life-giving breath, that is strong and that can give us energy and focus, and that we can be the strong, mighty cedar trees, and people will see us standing. People will know we are rooted and grounded, and they will come and ask, what is it in you that you are so solid and so strong, and that the wind cannot blow you over, and that the birds can nest in you, and that you can have fruit in season and out of season. Father, this is your heart for us. We want it. Thank you, Lord, that you give it when you minister to us now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the facilitators can come to the front. And those who want prayer, please come now. Don't wait till after the song. We all want coffee. So come and speak and talk to God and open your heart and get humble and get all the stuff out of your system that is blocking you with connecting with God. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Earlier when we were worshiping and we were singing the song about, Jesus, the Lamb, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and it was as if I see him at that point, that I was going upwards, and he was comfortably just sitting in front, like on your butt, with legs, like, you know, just comfortably. And I was asking, Lord, why this? I mean, we're worshiping you. You're the King of Kings and all that. And I was just reminded of the time when he let the children come to him, and when he washed the disciples' feet, and when he allowed John to baptize him. And I just heard him say, it's because he loves us. He wants to be close to us. He's not up there a million miles away. He's closer than a breath, the word says. So yeah, that's the word. Amen.
Thank you, Werner. He wants to be connected with you.
Is enough more than I need.
Before we end off, if you still want to come to the front, you're welcome to. Well, this next song, I'll sing a line and you guys can repeat after the verses, and then the choruses we can sing together. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
And He goes before me.
To
face,
to
always sing. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory, your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory, hallelujah.
As close to us as our breath, and may we always come to you and repent and just receive from you, Father, and receive that oxygen that you give. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.